It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In this installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for governor, we'll speak with Arnie Enns, the Wisconsin Party candidate. He's running against Libertarian Phil Anderson, Democrat Tony Evers, Independent Maggie Turnbull, Green Party candidate Michael J. White, and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. What's the top issue you want the next governor to focus on? What questions do you have for Arnie Enns? 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, email address ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Arnie Enns is the Wisconsin Party candidate for governor of Wisconsin and a business IT strategist. Arnie, welcome to the Morning Show.
Thank you, John.
Why do you want to be governor of Wisconsin?
That's a good question. Well, it's for a lot of different reasons, but when I really get down to it, it's about the stories that we tell ourselves and the stories I used to tell myself, too, about what our society is and what our shared experiences are and how those stories haven't worked very well for us of late. Things like, if you work hard, you'll get ahead. Things like, my kids are going to have it better than I'll have it. Or things like, a constantly growing economy is good for us. But these things are problems that these stories don't work for us like they used to anymore. And we're kind of getting away from believing that what we have is going to give us a future that we want. So, you know, my kids aren't going to have it better than I had it. Our democracy is really not working for me. It's working for corporate interests. Our economy is really only interested in profits, not necessarily in the planet that we all share. So basically, I want to run because these stories aren't the ones that we talk about in our public life. They're not the ones that we talk about in politics. And I think that we have to start talking about them, that our system's not really working and our stories aren't working, and we have to do something different if we really want to address them.
What is the Wisconsin Party?
It's my own invention, really. I thought about running as an independent, but there's a space on the form where you fill it out that says, you know, other or party. So I said, well, if I just run and nothing comes of this, then it really wouldn't have accomplished as much as it could have. But if we can do something to form another party and it becomes something more than myself, well, it can turn into more of a movement of things, then it has more value than me just running as an independent in an election cycle. So I put the Wisconsin Party there because I think we have to have more than just a two-party system. There are the Libertarians and the Greens and another party called the Constitutionalists within Wisconsin. But I think that we can have another one as well, one that represents all the people that don't vote, because if you look at the last five midterm elections, less than 50% of the people who are eligible to vote actually participate. And most people feel disempowered and disenfranchised by our system, so they don't participate. And I want to have people like that be able to have a voice. And so I thought starting a party would be a good way to do it. And even beyond that, I don't want it to just be about Wisconsin. I think all politics is local. So should we all, I ideally like to see like an Appleton party, a Superior party, a Dane County party, and there for all the people that live in that area to be able to be involved in politics and be able to have a voice in government without falling into either saying you're a Republican or a Democrat. So that's kind of the idea behind the Wisconsin Party. It's stuff that I'm going to continue to work on even after the election on November 6th.
Well, let's take a look at your top issues, one of which is to take back our government. What do you mean by that?
Well, right now, our government really doesn't represent us. For the most part, it represents special interest groups and big money and lobbyists. And you don't have to just take my word for it. There's a Princeton study that was done about 4 years ago by a couple of PhDs, and they looked at the relationship between large government sorts of decisions and programs and laws that got passed over a 20-year period versus what people generally wanted for laws and for the rules of our society. And the thing doesn't have a correlation in between what people want, what the general society wants, and what the laws are. But there was a high statistical correlation in between lobbyists and people with money and the sorts of things that they want to have happen. Everybody has examples of it, right? It's the dark money. It's this money in our election cycle. It's the money with the lobbyists. And if you have that money and you spend it in our electoral system or in our legislative system, your voice is heard. but the voice of the common person is lost. So we have to change our system, and we have to get that money out of politics. We have to get the corruption out of our government so that we can, if we reform our government, then we can work on the really hard things in our society, which are things like climate change and the like. We can transform ourselves to address fundamental problems that we don't really talk about.
Would you say that the Wisconsin Party would lean a more conservative, more liberal, or don't those labels actually mean anything in your context?
Well, I think we put too much into those things because, yeah, if you remember Carl Sagan, right, in Cosmos, and he had this great pale blue dot imagery that he used, and if you pan out far enough from planet Earth and you look at it as a dot, you know, we're all one tribe. We find all these ways to create differences between us, and we create our own tribes, and we try to, we want to belong to stuff. So we have these associations and these identities, and left and right and blue and red and Republican and Democrat are just more of them. And we have to step back and find our commonality from stuff. So I don't want to lean in any direction because I think the common things that we all agree with are pretty obvious. It is government should represent people. Do you believe that we have a democracy? Demos, people, is the root word of democracy. Do you believe our government's about the people? And leave it better than you found it, the second thing on my platform. We teach our kids these things, right? And everybody wants to do that. We don't want to use things up and not leave anything for future generations. There are simple things that span both parties that we falsely claim are only two choices today. So it's not like it's a liberal or a conservative thing. It's more about what are the common things that we all have to face in our society if we're going to make it work for us.
So what does taking back government look like if you're elected?
Well, the first thing I do is there's this great thing that a bunch of constitutional lawyers have put together, both on the left and the right. It's called the American Anti-Corruption Act. And it's a piece of paper that's sitting out there that you can download off the internet. And we should have whoever's going to be our attorney general start working on implementing that stuff. Our next governor should make that stuff law within our state. It's the kind of policies we need to enforce. And it's all about essentially getting money out of our electoral process. And I know Citizens United makes that very difficult, and that corporations are and people are able to use money as free speech. But there are things that we can do, and there's things we can do as citizens to say, you know, here's the thing. If I got 20 flyers in my mail from you, I'm not going to vote for you. We can decide to do that too. But there's also things and laws and policies and procedures that we can put into place. And it's stuff like term limits as well. Everybody, both Republicans and Democrats, say, I'll vote for term limits. You shouldn't be a career politician. But yet when they get into office, it never happens. They make all these promises. And me being not a Republican or a Democrat, I can go into office and say, hey, guys, this is our chance. Let's really fix this. I have the support of the state of Wisconsin to hold both parties accountable to passing stuff along the lines of the American Anti-Corruption Act. Don't want to go into all the details. There's essentially 9 major things within it. You can look at it on my website, or you can look it up online. It's a great set of policies.
You're not taking any money for your campaign. Why?
Well, it started last year when I was thinking about running, and I was talking with my father, and he related a story to me about meeting Bill Proxmire, who was a state senator in D.C. for the state of Wisconsin. And he said how he had met him a few times. And Bill Proxmire would just go shake his hand, say, I'm your senator, or I'm running for Senate. Here's my business card. And if you need anything, let me know. The last 2 times that Proxmire ran for office, he spent less than $250. And he won the statewide election for senator. So I'm using that as my model, basically. I'm not taking money from people, and I'm trying to bring back that kind of spirit, that anti-corruption stuff, the it's about the people thing that Proxmire had done.
All right. We're talking with Arnie Enns, Wisconsin Party candidate for governor of Wisconsin. If you have questions for Arnie, 800-642-1234, the number to call, 800-642-1234. What's your top issue you want the governor to focus on in the next term? I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In today's installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for governor, we're hearing from Arnie Enns, the Wisconsin Party candidate. He's running against Libertarian Phil Anderson, Democrat Tony Evers, Independent Maggie Turnbull, Green Party candidate Michael J. White, and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. What's the top issue you want the next governor to tackle? 800-642-1234. Arnie, according to an audit of the State Department of Transportation last year, about a third of Wisconsin state highways were in fair or poor or worse condition than in 2015. And a report from transportation research group TRIP released last month showed that half of major locally and state-maintained roads and highways in the state rate as poor or mediocre. What do you see as solutions to repairing and investing in Wisconsin's transportation system?
It's pretty straightforward, I think. I've always been taught, and I try to lead my life, where I pay for things out of my current budget. So if we have transportation issues, we really should look at the most direct way, even though it's a regressive tax, to do a gas tax increase. That is a start. There's other things you can do with the general funding to pull money out, but we have to pay for the things that we use today. We can't, and I hate this term, to kick the can down the road, because people use it all the time, but we do that. We do that in our personal lives, and we get into trouble. We do it as a society, as a government, we get into trouble. So I'm a big believer that we have to take care of our infrastructure, and we have to pay for it out of our current revenue streams for stuff.
What about the fact that so many vehicles these days are coming into use that don't use any gasoline? They have they're all electric, or maybe they're hybrids, and so those people are using the highways, putting a lot of miles on, but not paying a tax. How do we capture funding for roads from those folks?
Well, so living in Appleton, Wisconsin, we have a wheel tax right now. They got put into place to help pay for the roads. We used to have an assessment that would go if you were going to redo a road in front of a house within the city of Appleton, but the city changed how we do stuff. So now when we register vehicles every year, we have to pay $5 per wheel for a wheel tax. And we could do stuff like that as well. And I think since we're talking about infrastructure, we really have to also think about where we want to invest for the long term. We have a economy and an infrastructure that's based upon a transportation grid that uses a lot of energy. If we're really going to deal with things like climate change down the line, we have to cut the way that we use petro gases and the oils that we use. It results in too much carbon dioxide, as well as other pollution issues in urban areas. So if we're going to think about dealing with that problem, we should also look at how we should do transportation differently, how we should think about urban planning differently, how we should look to find different ways to pay for that infrastructure as well. Because the model that we're using is going to be evolving over the next 20, 30, 40 years. And when you talk about infrastructure, that's a 30 to 50 year time horizon. We should start talking about that now. We shouldn't just assume it's going to keep on being the same way it's always been with our interstate highway system and with our local roads.
We also know that health care is on the minds of a lot of people in Wisconsin, and, well, that's a pretty broad subject, so let's try and narrow it down a little bit. If elected, what would you change given the current state of the health care system in Wisconsin?
Right. Well, the first thing is much like Tony Evers, I'd look to take the federal money to expand access for Wisconsin families that don't have access to health coverage right now. But to me, again, it's a big issue, and there's also the pre-existing condition thing, and this is, according to the stuff I've seen with polls, a number one issue most people in Wisconsin have concerns with right now. But I think our healthcare is fundamentally broken, and what I'd like to do is talk about it in a larger context, and that we really should look at stuff like single payer within the state of Wisconsin, even if the federal government's not going to do it. And the reason being is that within Wisconsin, or within the United States, we have almost $1 in $5 goes towards healthcare costs, according to numbers that were just released last year from the OECD, which is a group of approximately 32 countries that have market-based democratic systems. And the United States has twice the average cost devoted to healthcare as all those other nations, with outcomes that are in the bottom quarter in general across all the different measures for health. So to me, that just speaks to how wrong and broken our healthcare system is. And instead of working at the edges around its access to health insurance, we should go and deal with it head on and look at major structural overhauls to our healthcare system.
Another big issue perennially in elections is education. What would you, if elected, work toward for our K-12 schools, and what challenges do you think they face?
Oh, there's a lot of challenges in this space. The nature of our whole job environment, not that that's the only thing education is useful for, the nature of our society is changing, yet we're still using a model that came to the United States in the mid-19th century, in the 1850s or so. It's based upon a Prussian model. It's all about having people be obedient and essentially good rule takers and to conform to systems. And what I would like to do if I get elected governor would be to establish a blue ribbon commission that would look at reforming our whole educational system from the ground up. We have to ask ourselves the questions that we asked originally with the UW system about the Wisconsin idea and how can education best serve the state of Wisconsin and the people within it. And to do that, I think we have to redo our whole healthcare system. Our whole educational system. Right now, again, it's that Prussian model, but we need to follow what I call the four C's for things. We have to teach creative thinking. We have to teach critical thinking. We have to teach better communication. And we have to teach our students and ourselves how to collaborate better. Those are the skills we need to have a high-functioning society and an adaptable society. And that's not what we get out of our educational system today.
Arne Enns is the Wisconsin Party candidate for governor of Wisconsin. We're talking with him today as part of our series of interviews with people running for governor in the state. Let's talk about Foxconn, because that's been in the news a lot for the last year. If elected, what would you do about this Foxconn deal? What's your take? Would you renegotiate the deal if you could?
I'd renegotiate that thing in a heartbeat. I'd call up Matt Flynn and see what he was doing, because he was the guy that said he had a plan on exactly how he could legally kill the deal with Foxconn. To me, it's just a bad idea. It's $4.5 billion worth of subsidies and credits that we'll be giving to a foreign transnational corporation in order to put jobs in Wisconsin that aren't necessarily the kinds of jobs that are long-term sustainable or best for Wisconsin. I'm an IT guy. I'm a technology guy, right? So screens and LCDs, you know, 10 years from now, they might be gone. So many tech companies change so much over time, it's ridiculous. Who knows, 15, 20 years from now, we might be using things like haptics or different form factors for interfacing with visual sight from systems or inputs into systems. And we're going to spend $4.5 billion. It's like going to Las Vegas and putting all your money on red number three, spinning the wheel and hoping that the number lands there. Did a little bit of math a while back, too. Wisconsin has 72 counties. $4.5 billion would be $62 million for each county for doing investment in new businesses or startups that are sustainable, that are based in Wisconsin, that are widely distributed geographically. I mean, if you had to choose, which one would you choose? Or if you had to say, which one would you invest in as an investor? I know almost every investor would say, take the distributed risk. They're not going to say, place one big bet like that. So to me, Foxconn is just a ridiculous thing that was very politically motivated. And I don't think it's good for Wisconsin. I don't think it's good for the citizens of Wisconsin.
Let's take a phone call. Kenneth is with us in Janesville. Kenneth, go ahead.
Hello. Are you going to do about the problem of throwing away your vote and that voting for you is going to get the worst person elected?
Okay, Kenneth, we are almost out of time. People might say a vote for the Wisconsin Party is a vote thrown away. How do you respond to that?
Well, we have to start changing somehow, right? And I understand people, and I think people should vote their conscience, but it's not just choosing between two different systems. It's about being able to change our system overall, and that we need proportional representation over time. If we keep on going down this road of voting for one of the two major parties, our systems are never going to change. Our rules are never going to be changed. We're just going to keep on getting more of the same. And it's not just about voting. What I aim to do is, after the election on November 7th, keep on working on these things through things like the Wisconsin Party, try to have that be part of a larger movement that will continuously work to reform our electoral process, as well as our government rules and regulations, as well as the critical issues of our day that we haven't talked about yet, which to me is climate change and the shorter runway that we have left in order to really address that fundamentally. So voting for one of the two parties is just going to get you more of the same. If you're happy with that, vote for Scott Walker, vote for Tony Evers, and do it with a good conscience. If you're not happy with the system and the way things work today, you have to start behaving differently, and that includes voting for a third party.
Do you think we're ready for that?
I think we have to be ready for that. Look at how many people aren't happy with either party. And look at how come politicians are looked at as being, I'm not slamming used car salesmen or anything like that, but we have a lower rating than what a used car salesman have. People think politicians are not good people. And part of that is because of how corrupt the system is. Serving in government and being a leader should be about servant leadership. It should be a privilege. It should be stuff that we should all feel called to do, and it should be an honorable thing. And we should be civic about our dialogue around it. And we should have the best and brightest in our society step forward to help lead us and to work through the major issues and the stories that aren't working in our society today. So, again, if you keep on doing what we're doing, all you're doing is reinforcing the special interest groups that are current two-party political systems.
All right. And Arnie, I think that's a good place for us to leave it. Arnie Enns, Wisconsin Party candidate for governor of Wisconsin and a business IT strategist. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, John.
To hear more candidate interviews or see coverage of the campaign, visit wisconsinvote.org. We'll continue our gubernatorial candidate interviews Wednesday with independent candidate Maggie Turnbull. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.